From the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, I'll begin with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Many who lead in business or in education or in our communities find it important to embrace for themselves and their institution a mission statement. This is what we're about. Whether we're in transportation with Big M or a part of South Tippah School District or the ball, bat, and girls who play on Saturday and sometimes Sunday morning, we all have a mission, don't we, of what we yearn to accomplish. Well, in our faith, Jesus has laid out for us what many call the mission of the church. Some define this scripture that we've shared in this morning as the Great Commission, the challenge to go forth by Jesus as his people in our world. So I would like for us to journey together through this passage of scripture today and take it a verse by verse and see what this mission is that Jesus has called us to as his people, as children of God. The scripture tells us in verse 16 that the eleven disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. You know what I find important that is often overlooked in that little verse of scripture is this, that if the disciples went to the place where Jesus had directed them, then for them to do that, there was something that was necessary. They had to be attentive to what Jesus was saying. Or in other words, they had to be in the presence of Jesus. It's hard for us to direct someone if we're not with them, right? Jennifer Huddleston does a wonderful job of directing our choir. But you know, she'd have a hard time doing that if we put her on speaker on Sunday morning and she stayed at home and was hanging out in the den and had it on speaker and said, "Y'all get ready, it's time to sing. I'm about to direct you." No, to direct someone, you need to be present. But not only is the director present, but who? The members, the recipients, those who yearn to be directed must be present as well. Wow. A call to our faith. One of the ways we embody our mission as followers of Jesus is to be personal with him, to spend time with him. You know, if we think of it in a secular way, in our working world, so often we hear that we need to keep our relationships professional. We don't need those to be too personal. We don't engage in recreational events with some of our colleagues, maybe those that we're the bosses of. We want to keep it professional. But our faith calls us to embrace our God personally. Now, what does that mean? The things that we do with those that we're personally engaged with. John and his children, when we're personal with them, we take them fishing. We do things that they enjoy and that we enjoy that make us laugh together. There's joy in personal relationships, right? It's not professional. But there is happiness, there's laughter, there's joy. Friends, could it be that our God is calling us to find that in Jesus our Lord too? Isn't that refreshing to know that we as people seeking happiness and fullness in life in this world we live in, then we have to look no further than rooting our happiness, our joy, our personal relationship in the one who gave his life to make our life better. So first, the mission of the church is for us to be personal in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But secondly, as we move on from the disciples going to the mountain where Jesus had directed them, he says here in verse 17, Matthew does, that when they saw him, they worshiped him. Wow, how beautiful that is. Isn't it great to know that the disciples laid out the process for us to grow in personal relationship with Jesus is rooted in what? In our worship, in our adoration, in our glorifying God, in going to worship on Sunday mornings and joining together in prayer, in confession, in singing of hymns, in sharing God's glory. Isn't it great to know that as Presbyterians, the first catechism of our faith, the first summary of what we understand it means to believe and be children of God is this. What is the chief end of man? What's the chief end of humanity? But this, the catechism says, to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. Friends, that's how we set ourselves in mission. That is our commission from God, to begin in worship. That's how we grow personally with Jesus Christ and receive his gift for happiness, for joy, for fullness in life. We become greater at making God greater, worshiping and adoring him as our Lord. But you know, also in verse 17, I find this scripture speaking especially to me at times, and perhaps to you, where it says, as they worshiped him, some doubted. Wow. Aren't we there at times? When the world presents us with questions, tragedies that we don't understand, as we've experienced so much in our community just 2 days ago, as we've heard of the tragedies in Madison, Mississippi, of young Kingston Frazier, the senselessness of his murder, the tragedy in Manchester, England, where innocent children and adults were taken. All in the name of faith. Friends, we have brokenness in our world and doubts. And so it was with these who followed in the ways of Jesus in our scripture. You know what I find so often in my doubt, in my wandering away from Jesus, it's when I become less personal that doubts rise to the surface most of all in my journey. In other words, instead of being personal as the mission calls us to, so often instead of walking more closely to Jesus and allowing him to direct me as we allow Jennifer to direct our choir, so often I fail to walk toward him, but instead I walk away. You know, I think of this story that I've shared with some of you before. When we lived in St. Louis, we would make that commute as often as possible back home to Mississippi to come to God's country in Tippah County and see loved ones and friends. And during that season in my life, I conducted a lot of my business on the telephone. I would get at least 100 calls a day, it seemed like. Sometimes it'd be short, sometimes it'd be long. Sometimes it'd be filled with happiness, not very often. Usually there was a problem. And on one of my trips back to St. Louis, I'd gotten to Memphis and I was getting on that bypass, going across the new bridge, heading over. And then, as many of you know that have made that route, you're on Interstate 40, headed toward Little Rock. And then you have to exit off to get on I-55 and head towards St. Louis. Well, somewhere about that exit, I was engrossed in an in-depth phone conversation, and I just kept on trucking down Interstate I-40. Kept on and kept on until finally I saw this big green sign. You know those green signs that tell you how far you have to go to the next city? And there it said, Little Rock, 40 miles. Boy, not only had I'd gone in the wrong direction a long way, hadn't I? Do you ever feel like that? And I pulled off the side of the road and I called up my GPS. You know what my GPS is? I go and get Pop to help me. That was my GPS. Go, Pop, save me. So I called the phone. I called my dad and I said, I am 40 miles from Little Rock and I've got to get to St. Louis. What's the best way to get there? So he pulled out his Atlas Benton and he started looking. He tried to figure it out and he had our friend David Horton riding with me too. So I had an engineer and a Pop trying to figure out me a route from Little Rock to St. Louis. You know what they told me? One of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. Here's what they said. Looks like the best way to get from Little Rock to St. Louis is to go to Memphis and then go up I-55. You know what they told me? I had to turn around. And I had to go right back where I'd come from. Friends, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes my journey get so far in the direction away from Jesus that I have to stop. And it's not pleasant when we have to stop, is it? And I have to make an about face. And I have to make up time that was lost and go back to the one who puts me on the path to right living, to love, and true happiness in life. You see, I think that's the essence of our mission of faith too. It's to understand that our call is to be personal with Christ. Our call is to worship the Lord of life. And our call is along the journey when we find ourselves going in the wrong direction and doubts keep creeping in and peril, that so often it's time to turn, to repent, to change directions, and come back to the Lord of life. You know, verse 18 continues. After we hear this call of turning, I love this portion of the scripture where the quote says Jesus came, and here Jesus utters his first words in this passage. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know what that tells us? That he is all powerful. Theologians, those much smarter than me, would say that is a word called omnipotent, meaning that God is all powerful. If God is all powerful and Jesus has all authority, you know what that tells old Jody here as he hears those words? That I am not God. I am not all powerful. I don't have all the answers. I don't have the authority, Lynn, even for my life. I have to trust Him for what is best for me. Friends, that's hard to do. So often I get myself in trouble wanting to help God out. Do you ever try to help God? You know, Lord, I've got this great plan for my life, for my family, for my career, for my ball team, whatever it is. God, I've got this great plan. If you'll just bless it, we can do great things together. But you see, friends, we must surrender and say, God, I'm not all powerful. In fact, I'm far from powerful. I'm broken. And I'm laying my brokenness at the feet of your cross because you have the authority over this entire world and yes, even my very life. You know, I think of this passage and I thought just recently, yesterday as I shared with you, we were up at Kentucky Lake with the family. And the boys, my boys were riding those inner tubes together. And the fun part was you try to ride and drive as crazy as you can to throw them off. Now, I don't understand anymore in my old age why that would be fun. But there was a season in my life, I'm sure it was. So they're going back and forth across those waves. And once all the fun was over, then the work started. We had to tote all the stuff from the boat. We had to get this huge inner tube and carry it from the boat back to the condo. And Noah and Luke were carrying the inner tube. And they got to this one section where it was hard to negotiate the inner tube. And Noah said to his mom, Manya, said, Mom, will you help us get it through here? So She picked up and she said, my goodness, this thing is heavy. Well, we know what happened. They shifted all the weight to her. Mama was carrying the load as she often does, right, Shirley? Mamas get to carry the heavy loads at times. So eventually they reshifted. They took some of the load from her and they helped her. You know, friends, hear this with me. When the load is heavy, we know who's doing the heavy lifting, don't we? If the load is too heavy, so often on us in life, in family, in our journeys, in our seeking for peace, in restoration from whatever we're struggling with, if the load is too heavy, then we, like my wife, Manya, yesterday, we need to shift the weight. We need to get some of it off of us and on to someone stronger than us to help us carry the load. You see, Jesus said, I have all authority, all power. He says it this way in his scripture in Matthew 11. He says this. He says, come to me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Isn't that what it means? To allow God to carry it for us when it's too heavy. You see, when Jesus said, my yoke is easy, imagine those two oxen in that yoke pulling the plow. If his yoke is easy, it must tell us that he's carrying the heavy load. He's doing the heavy lifting for us. Friends, surrender to him. As I preach to myself and receive this message with you, may we surrender more and more daily to allow him to do the heavy lifting so that we may embrace his yoke in our journey of life, for it is indeed easy and light when we allow him to carry for us. That's our goal. That's our mission. As Christian people, that is God's commission to us as Jesus speaks to us firstly in our passage today. You know, also Jesus says this. He says in verse 9 that once you trust me, once you allow me to lift the heavy load, then you're equipped to go and do something. And here's what he calls us to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is the part that I often overlook and fail to hear. And I strive to hear today with fresh ears. But as we go to make disciples, remember to teach them everything that I have commanded you. See, that's our commission. To go and make disciples of the world, but so often we think of the world being way out there. Can't the world start at home? Can't the world start in this sanctuary? Can't the world start in our workplace, on our school board price, with our friends, with our family? Make disciples. And Jesus, he helps us out. He Jody proofs it. Some would call it dummy proof. I call it Jody proofs it. He Jody proofs it by saying, this is how you make disciples. You teach them what I've commanded you. And friends, Jesus makes it even simpler. You know what he commanded us? He knew we were slow to listen at times. Jesus didn't want to make the faith too complicated for us. But he said this in the Gospel of John, I give you a new commandment, the only commandment that Jesus our Lord gave, right? In John 13, right before his betrayal and desertion, John, Jesus said this, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Now maybe you're saying, oh preacher, you're reading into that a little bit. Surely Jesus wants us to do more than that. But even in Matthew, that beautiful passage in chapter 22, where Jesus is asked, what's the greatest of all commandments? We know his answer. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Friends, it's love. That's our call. If we want to be good evangelists, if we want to evangelize and make disciples, is there any more important ingredients than love? The love of Christ for family, for friend, for co-worker, for our nation. Friends, that's what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to embrace His mission in our world. But you know, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy when times are hard and we face the tragedies and the darknesses that I referenced early in our sermon. But you know, the good news is that we have a God that is with us in the calm and in the storm. Because He says to us this as He ends this mission, this commission, He says, remember, I'm with you always. See, He doesn't say I'm with you in the good, in the calm only. But Diane, I'm with you in the storm. I'm with you in it all. You know, I think of my friend Sam McDonald, a Presbyterian minister in Corinth. We had coffee together this week. And Sam was reminiscing in missing his father during this season of Memorial Day and remembering those who impacted our nation and impacting our lives individually. Sam said this. He said, you know, my dad and I, we used to visit around the kitchen table. That's where we'd have our coffee. That's where we'd have our talks. And he said, Jody, I miss those times so much. But Sam went on to tell me this. He also said, Jody, you know, my dad was a writer. And he wrote stories about life, faith, and love. And he said, although in many ways, in the most personal way, my dad is no longer here, in some ways, he'll always be here. You see, Sam was living what our scripture says to us today about our holy God, to remember He is always here with us. You know, I heard a person this week reflect upon a dark time in their life. I went over to Vanelli's Pizza in Tupelo, Vanelli's Bistro. Have any of you tried it? We all remember Vanelli's out on the highway before the tornado in 2014 destroyed it. And as I walked into Vanelli's and I saw Vaz Vanelli, the son of Papa Vanelli, who got his start right here in Ripley. We've got to claim that, y'all. We put him on the map, didn't we? And Vaz, what I noticed about Vaz is he was very personal with each of his customers. He'd walk up and shake their hand. And he'd talk to them. He wanted to know where they were from, where they were going, why they were at his place, if they liked their food. Can I get you more croutons, Vaz would say. And he came over and sat with me, and we visited for about 30 minutes after lunch was over. And I asked Vaz, I said, why are you so involved with your customers? And he told me this story. He said, when the tornado hit in 2014, we gathered in the freezer there as the tornado went over our restaurant. In just a few seconds, it was all gone. Except for our lives. He said the next morning I was at my home with no power, no water. And he said, I looked outside and I saw this little bird scraping around for something to eat. And he thought about his dad's tragedies, his hardships coming to America. how they faced war-torn Greece. And the battles they faced getting acclimated here in the States. And he thought of his own tragedy in that darkness then. And how does he pick up when life is so tragic? And Vaz said, as all of that was running through my mind and I saw that little bird scrapping for something to eat, it spoke to me and reminded me, this is what I do. I feed. I feed people. I feed animals. I feed souls. You see, Vaz knew and embraced the mission that God had laid upon his life to feed this world. You know, I'm just silly enough to believe that we all have our own mission, don't we, Lynn? We all have our own call that God has laid upon our heart, our own individual gift that we feed the world with. But you know, I'm silly enough to believe this too. That we all have a unified goal. A unified mission. It's right here in our scripture. You know, it's all rooted in the words of this commission. If we put it all together, you know they spell out an acronym called prayer. If we remain personal with Christ, if we repent when we walk away from Christ and turn back to Him, if we adore Him in worship, if we yoke ourselves with Him, if we evangelize and share His love with the world, and then finally remember He is with us, then we, indeed as His children, will be more well equipped to receive His commission and go forth in prayer to feed the world to His glory. Amen.